Welcome to Western North Carolina Original Music, episode 44. 44 is actually the name of a mysterious savior of Poland that was prophesied by Polish national poet Adam Mickiewicz in his masterpiece poem Forefathers. This 44 guy was supposed to be the savior of Poland and restore the freedom of their kingdom in the 1800s, but 44 doesn't sound like much of a Polish name to me. Maybe Adam should have named him 44-ski instead. Well, anyway, enjoy episode 44-ski.
Thanks to Brian from the OMG So Random podcast. Make sure to look them up on iTunes and Google Podcasts. Netflix, maybe? Probably not. This week we have Richard Berg, who is just a very all-around talented person, an actor, musician, songwriter. I'm hoping to get some links to movies with Richard in it pretty soon. But mainly, let's hear some music from the recording session and interview we did. Here's Richard Berg.
She is honey, she is dew, and autumn evening hues string softly out of tune. The sunset shadows bloom. She's leaving for Japan. Should I pass on this chance to fall in love with her? Run numb from the rush of the falls I hide. As my ears run numb from the rush of the falls I hide. I touch her freckled skin. She slowly lets me in. I can see forever within. That timeless space we dwell together in. She's leaving for Japan. But should I pass on this chance to fall in love with her? My ears run numb from the rush of the falls I heard. As my ears run numb from the rush of the falls I heard. She's leaving for Japan. Should I pass on this chance to fall in love?
What I like about the Japan song is that it was a part of a lesson for me, and that's what the song's really about. So if you just listen to it, it sounds like it's a song about my love for a girl, but it's really not. It's about my decision to start loving again. Is what it's about. The way the words go is it's, should I pass on this chance to fall in love again? And that's really what it was, is I had just gone numb from heartache and heartbreak. And it had been many years since I had allowed myself to be vulnerable enough to fall in love. And here I was potentially falling in love with this girl who was definitely leaving for Japan. And there was no possible way that this relationship could work out. And yet I decided I'm going to go ahead and fall in love with her anyway, knowing my heart's going to be broken, just so that I can love again. And that actually was successful. It was the first step in many that helped me to be able to have a relationship.
Tell me it's worth it and I'll take you at your word. Tell me it's worth it and I'll take you at your word. Tell me it's worth it and I'll take you at your word. At your word. Tell me it's worth it and I'll take you at your word. Tell me it's worth it and I'll take you at your word. Tell me it's worth it and I'll take you at your word. At your we've been down this broken road. I hear you outside knocking on my door, but I don't want to go there anymore. Tell me it's worth it and I'll take you at your word. At your word. Garden path, singing everything is gonna be alright. But in the end of the garden grows the lily of the night. Your promises entreated me, and I breathed in so deeply. You stood stuck as the statuary as I called your name and died. But if you never sleep, you never dream, in the warm white light, a darkness near so sweet and beautiful.
In the Garden of Good and Evil is, that's one of my love songs to God. I was fortunate to be involved in a fundamentalist religious cult at a time when I was searching for God and who is God and what is God about. I'd had some experiences that I couldn't explain in life, some things that I just really felt touched by something that was a force that was beyond this veil. And I went searching, and I searched at the Mormon Church, and I searched at the Jehovah's Witnesses Church, and I searched at the Methodist Church, and I searched, and I searched. And one day I kind of found what I was looking for, which was a Bible school, and that led me into a church that turned out to end up being a cult in all ways. And, I like to say the best way to describe it is if there's a law in the books, they broke it. Wow. Which I obviously didn't know until it ended. But when it ended, I felt very betrayed by spirit, because I went honestly searching. And I felt like I'd been honestly led into this kind of terrible, mind-bending, traumatic experience. And so it was a rebuilding experience with me and spirit. I went through a quick nihilist stage. Quick, because if it lasted much longer, I wouldn't be in existence anymore. But I kept hitting this wall of saying, no, I've had these experiences, and I've had this touch that tells me that spirit's real. That's real. So what's the truth, and what's this really about, and how can I ever trust you again, God? How can I ever trust you after you led me into that? You know, I felt very betrayed. And so that song starts off with, you know, tell me it's worth it, and I'll take you at your word. And that's me talking to spirit and saying, okay, I'll start walking with you again. I'll start listening to your voice. I'll start pursuing your truth again. And if you tell me that, it's going to be okay. And the back end of the song is more or less expressing the anger at the betrayal. Feeling, you know, led down a garden path to death. But also the realization and the recognition that sometimes things like that are cleansing, and they're necessary, and they're important. And that's what that song's about. So it's very meaningful to me. There are a couple of my songs that are guys just love songs that are actually love songs to God.
She thought she knew what made the west wind blow and the tumbleweeds race across the plain. And she thought she knew her cowboy's heart, but she never even really knew his name. And the desert sun is like the eyes of a lover, so blinding. And the path of a man like the sand-dwelling serpents can be winding. Yeah, she thought she knew what made the west wind blow when the tumbleweeds race across the plain. She thought she knew her cowboy's heart, but she never even really knew his name. Your way in the wilds, the unweary will witness the scorpion sting. For every cowboy knows his life is lived neath the shadow of the vulture's wings. And she thought she knew what made the west wind blow when the tumbleweeds race across the plain. And she thought she knew her cowboy's heart, but she never even really knew him.
When I moved to Boulder, Colorado, I moved because the church ended and because I was, if I can say this out loud, terribly suicidal, and was at a place of desperation. I had a young son at the time, and he's now an old son. He's 24 this month, but at the time, he was an 8-year-old child, and I abandoned him more or less because I recognized that I wasn't being much of a father anyway. I was very absent because my psychology was just so messed up at that time. I was just in a terrible place of grieving and not really understanding. So I ran away to Colorado, and the week that I did that is when I bought my guitar. And so all of my songs spring from that place of darkness and despair. That is the birthplace of it, or the primordial mud, if you will, what I find interesting is that all of my songs have some sort of hope in them, you know, or some sort of get out message that, like, beating on my guitar really helped me to do that. But I went into a music shop and I bought a guitar and I went out to Colorado and never took a lesson, didn't know what I was doing. Just banged on the guitar. And the first parts of that, the chorus, she thought she knew what made the west wind blow and the tumbleweeds race across the plain. And she thought she knew her cowboy's heart, but she never even really knew his name. That's all I had, and I had that for 7 years. For 7 years, that's all it was. And at one point in time, my best friend, Jake Stabline, who's also a singer-songwriter, he and I were out in Utah. We were sitting on top of some giant rocks looking over some great expanse. And he wrote this whole chorus to it, like just sang along with me. And just like out came this amazing chorus. And it was terrific. And it was incredible. And we both forgot it instantly. Never remembered it again. Yeah. So it was a full 7 years before one day I was picking around the guitar and I refound the song. And I went, oh yeah, there's that. But that initially was probably one of the first things I ever picked out on guitar. Mm-hmm. And I think that message springs a lot to where I was at the time with just really questioning, even in my own heart, like, what is my heart? What is it about? Feeling very misunderstood, feeling like there was a lot more to me than what was on the surface yet to come out. Mm-hmm. But I actually haven't fully explored that song. Mostly my songs are teachers to me.
More from Richard in just a few moments, but I did want to throw in here that you can catch Richard and recent WNC original music guest Allison Price Lang in the new video from Queen Bee and the Honey Lovers. So find that online and you'll see them in some period dress. I would say slightly misbehaving. Also, make sure to subscribe to WNC Original Music. Just search WNC Original Music wherever you get your podcast, like Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts, or as I like to encourage people, just search WNC Original Music Podcast on Google, and something you are familiar with, I'm sure, will pop up there somewhere. Also, make sure to follow on Facebook and Instagram, and subscribe on YouTube, where there will be a lot more videos coming pretty soon.
Hi, this is Malise Elliott, and you're listening to Western North Carolina Original Music.
Love death is not a virtue, sacrifice forgotten fast. The hounds will hunt and hurt you, but together we'll outlast. I want to be your refuge, but I cannot be your strength. I'm not here to be used, but can give if you will take. Falling man, crouching woman, falling man, crouching woman, falling man, crouching woman. Hold on tight to me. Falling man, crouching woman, falling man, crouching woman, falling man. Crouching woman, I will fall for you. The end of days is coming, our last stand upon the earth. The axeman's boy is drumming, what now is our struggle worth? Let my wings fold around you, find your comfort in their warmth. While slings and arrows pound you, I'll stand by you through the storm. Falling man, crouching woman, falling man, crouching woman, falling man, crouching woman. Hold on tight to me. Falling man. crouching woman, falling man, crouching woman. I will fall for you. I've got you in my arms, love. My toes grip the slipping sand. Find your strength, fight these demons. Our last hope is in your hand. Falling man, crouching woman, falling man, crouching woman, falling man, crouching woman. I will fall for you.
Falling Man, Crouching Woman is the only song I've ever written that was based on somebody else's work, or work of art. I never thought that sculpture really appealed to me, but one day in Philadelphia, Philadelphia has some really great museums, and I grew up just outside of Philadelphia. And I was in Philadelphia, I think taking somebody else on the tour of here's what we do when we're in town. They were from, I don't know, it might have been that somebody from Italy or someplace like that. I was like, this is the best I have to show you. How do you show somebody museums when they're from Italy? But we went into the Rodin Museum, the Auguste Rodin Museum, and as sculpture, what sculpture? That museum blew me away. And everything that that man created just blew me away. It really connected with me because he really captured the human experience. I feel like in so much the same way that I do. So rather than an intellectual experience of looking at something and finding the symbolism of it, it's just his facial expressions that he carved and his hand gestures and all of that were just, they expressed so much emotion. They were the best actors I've ever seen. It was really incredible. But there was this one piece that honestly, I'm not sure it even actually exists at this point because I tried to try it on the internet to look it up and refine the piece and I can't see it, but I can see it so clearly in my mind. But as I recall, it was called Falling Man, Crouching Woman. And I might be confusing it with a sculpture that's called I Am Beautiful, and maybe somehow I saw my own interpretation into that sculpture. But what I saw was a man who was falling over backwards, and his feet are slipping on the pedestal, which is shaped to be like a rock. And you can see that he's clearly falling backwards, almost irretrievably at this point. And he's holding on to a woman who's in a very crouched position, similar to like the natal position, the fetal position. Mm-hmm. Except that she's kicking off of his chest. And she has this look on her face that is absolute desperation. And so the pushing on his chest I see is pushing him backwards, but yet he's holding on to her so strong. And in that I just saw such an allegory for that place that I think many of us have been in, where you love somebody so much, but they are in such a panicked place and you're doing everything you can to help them, but they are pushing against you while you try to help them. And it's about that love and that moment of, we're going down together. I've got you. Please get your shit straight so that we both don't go. Mm-hmm. But I'm holding on to you. Mm. For me, it's a very pure and true love song. Whether or not there's perhaps some toxicity in that relationship, I don't know. But I don't think so. I think it's just about the pure love of that. Of that moment that we all feel with somebody, whether it's one of our friends that's in caught up in drugs or caught up in some other problem, that they are just so in a panic and you love them so much, but they're so destructive. But you love them so much, you're going to go down with them. And it's like, I need you to get right so that we both don't go down. That's what that song's about.
As you float with the light and you see as it is and was perfectly. I hope that you then can believe that I was and always would be fighting for you. Our voices would raise over nothing of consequence. Sparks set the batter off, we both lift our fists in defense. I think you think I was just trying to be some kind of jerk to you. I was just praying something I was saying might one day work for you. And as you flew towards the light and you see the world as it is and was perfect. That you then can believe that it was and always would be fighting for you. The shine's left your eye. And so has your will to fight with me. I take it as a bad sign that lately you're more willing to agree. You and I will never see eye to eye on anything. It will be a surprise when you see we saw eye to eye on everything. And as you float towards the light and you see the world as it is and was perfectly, I hope that you then can believe that I was and always would be.
An evolving relationship with my father. He and I didn't get along very well when I was growing up. We had just a hard time meeting each other. And we've been doing a lot to work on a relationship. My songs are a snapshot. I do want to say that they're a snapshot. All of my poetry, all of my work is it's a snapshot. So it's like that's where things were at that moment in that time. So if this record endures, I want to make it clear that that's not necessarily where my relationship is with my father today, but that song was talking about the frustration that I have in communicating with my dad, where he and I would just fight or argue or squabble constantly, and I just always really wanted him to be proud of me. And to see me, he's an intellectual person, and I always wanted him to respect me for my intellect and for my intellectualism. But when I would try to talk to him about my philosophies, well, my life experience was different than his. And he's a conservative, and he's a Christian Scientist, and he just comes from different perspectives than I came from, having come out of a cult and having had to survive and, you know, on minimum wage and raise my kid on minimum wage. And it's like, I had a much more liberal perspective. I'm an artist. And in general, you know, it's coming back and trying to talk to him. And it's like all of our keywords are hot words and everything. We just turn to arguments. But what I always saw and always knew was, hey, you're the person that raised me. And I am the person that I am today because you gave me this heart. You taught me to love. You taught me to have this perspective towards people and things. And I might be more liberal than you today, but I'm more liberal than you today because I've taken what you said to heart. And that's been my frustration and my feeling that it might not be that in this lifetime you see what I'm saying. But I do hope that one time, you know, one day when you're able to get past all the political garbage or the hot words and the key things that set us off, that you're able to see that we were always of the same heart. I have never doubted that my parents loved me, and I'm very grateful for that. I'm very grateful to be able to say that.
Cigarettes and all the other things which make the world go round. Like diner food and plain ice cream, foolish talk of our silly dreams and whatever the hell I'm ever gonna be.
And whatever the hell will I
this is my favorite song to talk about. So they storytelling the other night, and I got to share this story and share that song. I'm going to keep this short, I promise. When I was in Colorado, I moved out initially with my sister and was staying with her, and then she met a man who became her husband, and so she moved away, but I was still there. I needed to be there, and I wasn't ready to come home yet, so I called one of my friends, and he came out, and the two of us found an apartment, and there was supposed to be a third friend, and he never made it, even after we signed the lease. So it was just my friend and I trying to pay the rent, and I was working for pretty close to minimum wage. I was a waiter, but I wasn't really cutting it very well. I was in a restaurant that wasn't doing that great, and I wasn't doing that great at the restaurant. And so this story begins with, I was 2 months behind on rent. I was 2 months behind on my car payment. I was 1,500 miles away from home. I called home for help with money, and it was the first time they were like, no, we're done. We're done. We can't help you anymore. You need to get your life together. You need to figure things out, but we're done helping. And I was trying to impress upon them, no, this is the actual rock bottom. I'm about to lose everything. And I don't even have bus fare to get home to you. Like, I need help. And they just said no. And at that same point in time, I was resigning. I was put in my 2 weeks notice in lieu of being fired, because it was being made clear to me that I wasn't working out there. A lot of that was because I was there because I was recovering from trauma, and I wasn't doing it very well in public sometimes. And I was also just, like I told you, I just picked up the guitar. I'd written one song on the guitar. I had gone back to writing because when I was in the cult, they kind of really discouraged me from pursuing any of my artistic activities. It just didn't fit into their plan for me. And so I was rediscovering all of those things and kind of picking them back up. I was writing poetry for the first time, really. And in that moment, I was just so discouraged. And I had a friend and a coworker who was a little bit younger than me. He was like 22 at the time, but he was as bitter as a man who was 92. He was amazingly bitter. Today, he's a yoga instructor and puts out the most positive messages I've ever seen. I'm so proud of him. His name's Alex Sandoval, and I just love him so much because of this moment. And for being my friend in those days. But we bonded because we were bitter, and I think I just was sharing with him some bitterness that was just about wanting to quit it all and just being done with it, done with writing, and what does it matter anyway? And he said, yo, hold on. I don't know if he said yo because he's not from Philly. And he said, hold on. He said, you know that song that somebody wrote that, you know, got you through that thing, and what would you do without that song? What would you do if they never wrote that? What would you do if they hadn't, if they had just said, fuck it, I'm not going to do this? I took that advice very much to heart. He basically told me, you don't have a choice. If you're an artist, you don't have a choice. You have to write it. You have to put it out there. You owe it to whoever is out there that needs to hear that. That's your, it's your duty. It's your requirement. And so I immediately, like that day or the next day, I wrote that song, Shooting Stars and Cigarettes. What's fascinating to me about that is that I've written at least 20 songs since then. And that is the song that all of my friends and everybody I know, they want to hear that. It's like if they say, you know, we sit down, we're playing on the porch or whatever. They're like, yeah, what do you guys want to hear? They say, well, Shooting Stars and Cigarettes and then whatever else. Like, that's the one that really seems to resonate and connect. And that's the one that I wrote based on that conversation with Alex, based on where I was in my life right then and what I had to share and offer and to say, well, maybe somebody else needs to hear this too.
That's it for part one of Richard Berg. I want to mention that we talked for quite a while and I had to edit quite a bit of it, but I'm going to, in several weeks, probably put out an unedited or barely edited version of the interview. But also there's a part two coming up in a few weeks with more of Richard's music and interview. As always, I want to remind you to check out the links and go listen to everyone's music and send them a note and tell them how much you like it. Subscribe to the podcast. It's free. Go to wherever you get podcasts, wherever you found this one. Follow on Facebook and Instagram and wherever else. And have a good week.
Portuguese.
I don't speak Portuguese.